And we just want everybody to join in and just, amen, worship with us with this song. Now as you're standing up, can we all just clap our hands? Can you just make use your right or your left foot? It doesn't make a difference. Because in this song you have to jump, but everybody's not going to jump. So when we say jump, if you can't jump, can you just stop one of your feet? Does that work? Amen. Can you just go like this?
chains. What is a teamwork? And as other gifts, if there's no I in team, amen. It takes all of us to our part. We just bless the Lord for what He's doing in our midst. And we thank God that God is a God that's able. What is impossible with men? Jesus said this, so it has to be true. He said, what things are impossible with men are possible with God. Anybody got an impossible situation for man? Then give it to God. And our theme for this year is believing God. Believing God against all odds. And when the Lord blessed us to use this scripture, we took two impossible situations. The scripture lets us know in Luke 8:49-50 that Jairus' daughter died. How many know that when you're dead, that means usually it is over. Hallelujah. But Jesus looked at the situation. Anybody want God just to look at your situation? The Lord looked at the situation. He said, fear not, believe only. I don't know what kind of challenges you have today, but fear not and believe only. And when they came to Jairus, he said, leave Jesus alone because your daughter is dead. Not maybe dead, not a misdiagnosis, but they said she is. Believe and she shall be made whole. And then the other scripture is in St. John chapter 11, I believe in verse 40. The Lord says concerning Lazarus, who had been in the dead, who had been in the grave and dead for 4 days. And you know, when somebody's in the grave, it's bad. You know, there have been situations when people have died. I've heard stories of the war in Vietnam. People had died and then they sent them back to America and they went in the morgue, and when they got in the morgue, for some reason the person said, I became alive. I've heard of those stories. I know, but I never heard when somebody was in the grave dead for 4 days. And they came to Jesus. That's why Jesus is so important. And there's a whole lot of other gods. There's a whole lot of other people they believe in. But nobody else has raised somebody from the dead. They were full of tears. They said, Lord, if you had been here, Mary, Martha, and our brother had not died. But the Lord said, sin I none unto thee. And if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. They say, your brother, he told them, say, your brother, we arise again. Y'all may know that we will rise again. They say, yeah, in the resurrection at the last day. And when I situation, he said, can you bring me to that problem? God is not a God that's afraid of challenges. He said, bring me to the problem. And they brought him to the grave. They said, Lord, he's been in the grave dead for 4 days. By now he stinketh. And Jesus looked at him again and said, said I not unto thee. I don't know how many of us have some impossible situations, but just believe. The Bible, Jesus said, some health situation. will be coming from 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. And then we'll skip down and read verses 11 through 13 together. Amen. Verses 1 through 7. Then we'll skip down and read verses 11 through 16 together. Do we have it? Can we say amen? Amen. And for those who do not have it, it is on the screen. Amen. Verse 1 reads, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to the sacrifice." And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake. Once again, let's read that again. And what? Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Come and found peaceably." And he said, "Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, they looked on Eliab, and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look now his countenance, or on the height of his statue, because I for man looketh on the outward appearance, for the Lord looketh." That's good enough. Heavenly Father, we bless you and we thank you. Oh God, we thank you for being in this place. Lord, we thank you for your presence being here, for in thy presence is the fullness of joy. Lord, we just thank you that you took the time to stop by and visit us. Lord, we thank you that you're touching hearts and minds on this afternoon. Now, Lord, you can find out about it through medicine. We got the great WHO, World Health Organization, that usually will send out a warning when there's a global economic, global epidemic, a global crisis of pestilence. But this epidemic, the World Health Organization cannot find this one. Medical science can't find this epidemic. Amen. Not even can we look through the annals of medical journals to discover this epidemic. But as the Lord was dealing with the epidemic that we have today, is that people's hearts are not like God. That's the epidemic that's global. You know, when you look at some of the atrocities that are happening across the world, and not just across the world, even in And if we're going to have a subtopic toward a heart like God is doing what God has told us to do. Amen. How can you have a heart like God if we don't do what God has told us to do? Jesus said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. So the epidemic is most people don't have a heart like God. And you can't legislate a heart like God. Congress can't put this into a law. Hallelujah. Amen. Our mayors and our governors of our cities and our states can't legislate this law. The Lord sends Samuel to the house of Jesse to choose out a king. But Jesse has the same epidemic, Samuel initially has the same epidemic problem that exists globally today. He was judging based on the outward appearance and he could not see the heart. So when he saw Jesse's firstborn and his stature and his physique, he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And the Lord told him, he said, no, Samuel. He said, you're judging based on me. How many of us have disqualified people and situations based on the outward appearance? Amen. So he said, no, Jesse, I don't want you to look at the outward appearance. He said, the king that I'm going to choose is going to be someone that has a heart like God. Amen. So a lot of people are desiring to be in positions, and they want to be in spiritual positions, but they don't have a heart like God. Let us turn to 1 Samuel and the 13th chapter. 1 Samuel is 13th chapter. The very first king in Israel was Saul. Amen. After they rejected the judges and after they rejected God ruling over them, they said, Lord, we want to be just like all the other nations. We want a king to reign over us. So God honored their request and he gave them a king. Verse 1 reads, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned, the first year, you ever see people get saved? And the first year they're running for Jesus. I got God on my side, hallelujah, and nobody can turn me around. But through the process of time, when things start happening that they can't control, they change. Their heart changes. Why? Because things are out of their control. So verse 1 reads, now let's get down to verse 5. You can read in between on your own. It says the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots. Now they didn't come out in a small number. They came out with 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as sand, which is on the seashore in Malta. They were everywhere, coming out against God's people. Verse 6 says, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, said, we're in a bad situation. Anybody that's happened to feel like you're in a bad situation? Then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in hot places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. They were trying to get away from this situation. Amen. I heard somebody say, you're wrong. But you cannot hide. They were trying to get away from what was evidently a very negative situation. Amen. The last part of the verse said, as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people fought him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. So Saul is waiting for Samuel, and Samuel had given him an appointed time. When a time is appointed, the Bible says God has appointed a time for us. He had given him an appointed time, but as many of us, when we get to the point that we don't really trust God fully, when things get too close, we like to take things into our own hands. Amen? So it said, but Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the peoples were scattered from Saul. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. Now, who was supposed to offer burnt offerings? The priest. Who was Saul? He was the king. But there are times when we get in a situation that we are afraid of, that we step out of our office and we start getting involved with things that are not our responsibility. So we continue here and say,
Washington.
in us discerning our hearts. Do I have a heart after God? If I have a heart after God, then I will keep the Lord's commandments. But when my heart is not after God, and when I don't do what God tells me to do, I have challenges trying to keep the Lord's commandments. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you.
Amen. He said, which he commanded me, but now would the Lord have established our kingdom upon Israel forever. But now my kingdom shall not, he said, your kingdom won't continue. Now let's pay particular attention to this verse. Amen. The Lord has taught him a man. Yes, Lord. He said, now you didn't do what God told you to do. He said, now if you were obedient and did what God still told you to do, he would have established your kingdom forever. But because you were disobedient, he said, now the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. Does anyone this afternoon want a heart like God? Hallelujah. He said, he sought him a man after his own heart. Amen. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the court to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect for us here. The latter portion of it says, to be captain, he said, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Verse 15. So God did what? He rejected Saul. Why? It wasn't what Saul did on the outside. It was what going on when God deserts the heart. So verse 15 says, Saul, Samuel rose and got him up from Gilgal to give you. And Saul numbered the people. Now, if perchance we were Saul, put yourself. Now, the man of God has just told you, you've done the wrong thing. Your heart is not after God. What the most common sense thing do you to say, Lord, forgive me. I've done the wrong thing. But what did Saul do? He didn't repent. He continued going in the wrong direction. And as a result of that, the Lord rejected him and made David king, because Saul had a hard condition. What was the hard condition? His heart was no longer after God. I like what the prophet, what Job said. He said, the righteous. When you're righteous, that means you're right in the sight of God. When you're righteous, that means you're obedient to God. He said, the righteous shall hold on to his ways, and he that has clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger. Amen. Did you ever look at your situation sometimes and say, Lord, why do I feel like I'm getting weaker and weaker instead of growing in faith and getting stronger and stronger? Because there's a hard condition. Amen. Now, how many of us want to go to heaven? Well, everybody, you've got to wait. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. In Psalm 24:4, the Lord asked the question. He said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He said, who's going to stand in his holy place? Anybody want to stand in God's holy place? He said, he that has clean hands and a pure heart. You can't get to heaven, hallelujah, if your heart is not clean. You can't get to heaven if your hand is not clean. Do what you please, do all you want, hallelujah, but man looks on the outward appearance, but our God looks at our hearts. So he says that if you want to go and stand in God's holy place, you got to have a clean hand and a pure heart. And then the next verse says he has not lifted up his soul to vanity. Now the word vanity has many different meanings. Vanity can mean you're believing in something that is far from true. You're not lifting your heart up to vanity. It can also mean lies. Vanity can also mean things that have no profit. So if I want my heart to be after God, I cannot follow a lie. I cannot follow something that is not true. I don't care if a million people are propagating something, if it's contrary. go on to read about Saul a little later, it says the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Well, what was the problem? He had a heart condition. Amen. Science couldn't tell him. Everybody else could not recognize him. Even Samuel, the man of God, mourned and cried for Saul because he could not recognize him. But God told him, he said, how long will you mourn for Saul? Because I have rejected him. Sometimes we put ourselves in a place of the mourn for someone that is disobedient and won't walk according to God. God tells you to stop crying for them. I have rejected them. Well, what's the problem?
It's in the heart.
Anybody want a clean heart? I'm not talking about what I look and see don't count. Because I can only see me. But I'm talking about a clean heart, so when God sees your heart, when God discerns your motives, when God tries to figure out why did you do what you just did, when God looks at me and says, why did you say what you said? I will not swear deceitfully. Hallelujah. I'm not going to follow vanity. I'm not going to try to trick God that knows all things from the beginning. I'm going to say, Lord, you know what? Today, my heart is an open book before you. I'm not trying to please a man. I'm not trying to please a woman. But my greatest desire is I want to please God. Whose heart do you want to have a heart like? I'm going to go to two other scriptures and then we're going to close. Two other scriptures because I think it's important that all of us know our heart better than anybody else. Amen. You know why you do what you do. You know how you try to trick people, that your motives aren't altogether pure. When the Bible says, oh, the one heart? If your heart is not pure, how can you see? How can you see God if your heart is not right? Amen. If I'm going to do this because I calculated the cost and I realize I'm going to get more benefits, but I'm not doing it out of obedience to God. Amen. So let us go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. Today is so important that we enter a covenant to see God's heart. Amen. Not just the emotions, but a covenant to see God's heart. 1 Chronicles 28:9 reads, and thou, David, give a commandment to his son Solomon. He said, and thou, son of my son, know thou the God of thy. We're not talking about an extemporaneous unknown God. You got to know God. And serve him with a
perfect God.
You want to serve God with a
perfect God.
And with a
willing mind.
Perfect God and a what kind of mind?
Willing
mind. Now this is what I like about salvation is individual. So I gotta say what's in my heart and what's in my mind. That's why the psalmist says, search me, O Lord, and know my
heart.
And try me and know my
heart.
Know what's in my mind. Amen. Because I want to do it with a perfect heart. For the Lord searches. Who searches?
Lord.
Amen. X-rays can't search his heart. What do y'all on all those things? What's it called? EKGs can't search this.
Right?
CAT scan, maybe other scan can't search this. Only God can search the heart. Well, what part of the heart is God searching? God is searching the motives in the heart. God is searching the heart to find out why you did what you did. So God's searching goes beyond medical science. It goes beyond what man can do. God searches all hearts. doesn't know, our God doesn't just leave us fumbling or bumping around. He said that you were in the wrong direction. I'm going to expose you, you're wrong. But then I'm going to give you an opportunity to make it. I'm going to give you an opportunity to make it right. He said, if thou seek him. I've been going the wrong direction. I've been thinking the wrong thing. I've been acting the wrong way. He said, but if thou seek him, he will be. If you seek God, the Bible says, in the thing that you search after him, well, all your heart then shall you. I've seen a lot of people, they say, I've been searching after God. Hallelujah, but when things don't go like they want to, they go on path. And then they say, well, where is God? You have to search for him with what? All your heart. Only you and you alone know, how have you been seeking after God? When things don't go right, do you try to take vengeance for yourself? Do you try to extract your own righteousness? Do you do it your way because it's not right? Are you still calling after God? That's my responsibility. So he said, if you seek him, well, how do you seek him? He said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. So just honor me by keeping my commandments. If you love him, seek him by keeping his commandments. He said, the latter part said that if you choose to stay where you are, if you choose to let your heart remain like it is, he said, that shows that you have forsaken God. Amen. So if you forsake God, he said, God will. If you forsake God, will come and cast you out. God will forsake you. Amen. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles 15 and 2. We already read the latter part of it. But let's go to 15. Well, we didn't read it, but we're going to 15 and 2. And we are close on this verse. Are you seeking God with a perfect heart? Are you following after God in obedience to his commandments and his word? Are you just going through the motions when God searches all hearts? Right now, it could be a million of us in this room, and God can discern every last one of our thoughts because he's God. He will discern our hearts and our thoughts. The charade of spirituality is over. Going through the motions should be past. It's time to be real. 15 and 2 says, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all those that have followed you. And then, the Lord is
with you.
God is with you while ye be. Anybody want God to be with you? And you got to be. You can't do it your way and think you have God's faith. You can't keep walking in disobedience and think you're going to get a blessing from God. He said, if you seek him, he will be. So if you seek God, you're going to what? But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Today we're talking about the heart. We're not talking about what anybody else sees. Because God sees us when nobody else sees us. Hallelujah. In the solitude of our own home, God sees us. When we go on a far journey doing our own thing, God sees us. Because the scripture says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. And the scripture said, truly God is good to Israel and to such as be of a clean heart. So you got to have today, our greatest desire should be to have a heart. Does anyone know what a heart like God? I mean, this is your personal, you personally. Don't do it for me. Because God already knows your heart. I'm saying, does anyone really want to have a heart today like God? If you're going off track, if you're messed up, amen. Even this morning, if you said some stuff and acted in a way you should not have acted, there is a remedy. did do the wrong. You know, for years I've done it the wrong way. You can change that today. But how did I change it? I first had to humble myself. Humble to say, you know what? I've been my own God for too long. I've been writing my own commandments. I've been doing my own things for too long. But then when I'm looking to the perfect law of liberty, which is the word of God, I see that I was in error. So Lord, I want to say I was wrong. So I humble myself. Then I say I'm wrong, so then to get it right, I'm going to see his face. And you know, in the ultimately the final decision in whether we're going to do it the right way, he said, and turn from his old ways, his wicked ways. God said that if you follow those three steps, he said, then will I hear out his intent. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. It's in the Lord's word. And the problem is, as long as you keep talking about what you believe, and it does not match up with the word of God, you are your own God. And you are a law unto yourself, because God's word says this, but you say, I don't believe it. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life, and there they will sanctify me. So in that last portion of that, he says, if you turn from your wicked way, God said, then will I hear from heaven. God said, will you do it right? I'm not talking about doing it what you, the way you think. Do it the way God says. He said, if you do it according to my word and according to my heart, he said, then what I hear from heaven, he said, I will forgive your sins. But God won't forgive you until you do it God's way. And then after you forgive your sins, he said, then I will heal you. As we all said, a heart like God. A heart like God. The only one that we deserve in our hearts is God. People will look at us and what we're going through and say, wow, you got it all together. Hallelujah. But when you get home, as the elders and the ministers and the all the workers come forward, when you get home, God looks at you and says, that's not a heart like me. That heart is contrary. You're going through the motions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, I can give my body to be burned, and I can be sold by those who feed the poor, but if I have not charity, which is a right love for God and a right heart, the scripture said it profits me nothing. If you want to have prosper and profit in God, how many of you got to